looking at the book of Romans, and we're going to be concentrating on just one verse this morning, which I thought would be helpful, and this evening too. And it's Romans 1 verse 17, which in a chapel Bible is page 1128. We'll read it together in a few minutes, but I'll pray first of all that Heavenly Father, you would help us to understand more deeply the good news of Jesus Christ and what he means for our lives. Amen. Now, did you know that you live your life by stories, whether you realize it or not? We all live our lives by stories. Stories shape and change them. Here's an example of a story which shaped many people's lives. This little piece of concrete here. It looks like any old piece of concrete, but it's actually part of the Berlin Wall. Or so the bloke who sold it to the bloke who gave it to me said. I don't think he just lifted it from a skip somewhere, but I like to think it really is a piece of the old Berlin Wall. The old Berlin Wall stood for a story. It was part of the Iron Curtain that divided the communist east of Germany from the democratic west. And communism is, if you like, a story for mankind. A story that explains how our basic problems result from social and economic inequalities. And the answer to them is to live our lives collectively and communally. And then if we do that, the end of the story will be an equal society. For a whole generation, the populations of Eastern Europe would be living their lives as part of that big story for mankind. Whether they knew it or not, or wanted to or not. And when the Berlin Wall was broken, it also showed the end of that story for humanity. So this is a piece of a story as well as a piece of a wall, you see. But ironically, what happened in the East is in some ways happening on this side of the old wall too. In the West, the big story for many years has been that mankind is solving his problems, her problems, by science and technology, by economic growth and social freedom. A kind of evolution, if you like. And as we follow this story, we grow out of ignorance and towards a new world. There was a great deal of confidence in the last century in that. It was something worth living for, that big story for mankind. And today, many will still subscribe to it. But it seems to be a minority. It's clear to many of us that that version of a big story for mankind isn't really going anywhere either. Two world wars in the last century, the uncertainty and the worries of this century, they mean that although we enjoy the benefits of the modern world, most of us don't really know where it's going or why. Or whether it will ever get there. And it seems that there isn't really a big story for anyone to trust anymore. And that messes up the little stories too. All around the world, the old answers are crumbling. The old stories are dying out under the pressures of a changing world. It's happening to societies, to whole cultures. It's happening all around us. And it's affecting individuals too. Perhaps it's happening to you. Are we losing the plot? In a previous generation, if you were a young adult, say, you would have known where your story was headed. You'd have had a pretty good idea where you would live, what you would do, what life would be like, what it would all be for. Now, to put it very bluntly, you don't, do you? Your personal and private story is just as much up in the air as the rest of the world. And that might be tremendously exciting. But it also means that all around us, all around you, there are people losing the plot in life. And maybe you've lost the plot in life too. Now this morning I want to talk to you about the story that could change all of that. And you may already know it or think you know it. You may not. After all, this is a very old story, isn't it? Yet in other ways, it's a very new story. A story that's always alive and true. Even when the rest of the world is tearing up its script around us. It's the story which the Bible calls the gospel. the good news, the story of Jesus Christ. And that's what is a different kind of story. And that's what is referred to in this verse in the book of Romans, the letter written to the Romans, that we're looking at. In the gospel, in this good news story about Jesus, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that's by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now actually, this verse is so important, I'm going to spend two whole Sunday mornings on it. Or Sunday evening, no, not two whole Sunday mornings, two Sunday services. Going to come back to it this evening and look into some of the depths. But my essential point this morning for all of us here, whoever you are, wherever you're from, is that this gospel story is what you need and what I need to really live. And that this is something that you can really believe and invest your whole life in. Now let me remind you how the story goes. Some 2,000 years ago, a child was born in the little backwater of the Roman Empire. At that time, hardly anyone noticed. 30 years later, this man called Jesus suddenly appeared on the scene, started saying and doing things, which in the context of his day added up to some quite outrageous claims to be some kind of God on earth. But on the global scheme of things, hardly anyone noticed. After 3 years of that, he was imprisoned by the authorities and executed for being a troublemaker. But a short while later, many of his friends started to go around saying that he'd come back from the dead and he'd been seen again. Again, at the time, hardly anyone noticed. Just a story, you might say. And an old, strange little story at that. Yet did you notice? Today we baptize folk from China, from Tajikistan. Next week we hope to baptize someone from India. Put that all together, that represents half the world population being baptized at Surrey Chapel on two Sundays. Three major cultures all brought together. Wow, you think it's full today. These people from all around the world are putting their faith in Jesus Christ, having him written into their life story. It's strange, but it's true. And this morning I want to explain how it is that a story from years ago can be the story of your life today. So two questions I want to ask. How can you believe this story? And why must you believe this story? How can you believe it? Why must you believe it? So we start with this first of all. Well, for a start, you can believe in this story because it's a true story. The events really happened. Jesus really did live and die and rise again. Don't be taken in by things like Da Vinci Code coming out this week and all those stories that are like it that claim to have explained Jesus Christ away. Those stories are, in fact, all based on guesswork and imagination and presupposition. The story of Jesus is based on facts, things people saw happen, written down at the time. And no one has ever succeeded in disproving the events of the gospel. And it's important that we say that the story isn't just a story made up, it's a true story. To believe in the story of Jesus Christ is not the same as believing in the story of Santa Claus, since there is some evidence that he doesn't exist. But there's more to it than that. There's lots of true stories of things that really happened, but that you don't believe in, aren't there? I mean, I truly had Weetabix and Summerfield crunchy oats this morning. But I'm not asking you to invest the rest of your life in the contents of my breakfast bowl, am I? It's a true story, but not, you know, a true story you believe in. But this is a story you can invest your whole life in. The point of the story of Jesus Christ is that it proves and shows that God really is alive and at work in our world. He's really there. Now that is really significant. Because over the last century, God has been written out of the big picture, in our culture at least. This story is told that we're growing out of our need for him. We don't need God to explain our origins, to tell us what to do, to solve our problems. We can manage fine by ourselves. But as I've been saying, I think people are losing confidence in that view of civilization. Because we find that although life gets better in some ways, we all have nicer cars, for instance, most of our basic problems as human beings aren't solved. They just take on different shapes. And if one problem's solved, then another new one comes along to take its place. God actually leaves a vacuum when you write him out of the story. And you realise that life is not satisfying without him. But if it turns out that we do need God in our story, after all, we can't write him out, we now have a problem. Because we look around and we think, well, where on earth is he when you need him? Where's he gone? And we look at the state of the world that we live in, the mess it's in. Haven't you noticed all the things going on in our world? If God is so great, so good and so loving, what on earth is he doing about it? It's the age-old problem of suffering, isn't it? A lot of us look at the world around us and conclude there is no God. At least not a good and loving God like he's supposed to be. Look at all the dreadful things that happen which he does nothing about. But we don't have to imagine him into the story, you see. That's what it seems like some people do. Just make up a character called God and write him into the story to make us feel a bit better. Many religions feel like that. That's what religion can seem like, can't it? Wishful thinking. A just-so story made up to explain something we don't understand. To fill a gap that we feel. And if that's so, you might as well believe in Santa Claus if that makes you feel better. From the evidence of experience, why believe that God is ever going to turn up and do anything? You could quite rightly say, hard luck, folks. We're on our own. The divine cavalry isn't going to come over the hill. And it's interesting that people in the Bible wrestled with exactly that problem too. God said he'd look after us, but everything's gone wrong. Where's he gone? I can sympathise with that. In fact, if it wasn't for the gospel, I'd agree with it too. But the gospel of Jesus Christ tells a different story. God has written his own story that proves he can be trusted. God hasn't forgotten us, hasn't forgotten the creatures he made or the people he's committed to. In fact, he's far more involved than we could ever realise. But he's doing something rather different to what we expected. The good news stories is about how God enters the world as his son, Jesus Christ, as a man. And he bears the sins and the struggles of the world on himself. Instead of just sorting them all out, he experiences them himself. And how in the end, he proves faithful and reliable to everyone who puts their faith and their trust in him. And the proof of that is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You see, because Jesus stayed true to his Father, and God stayed true to him. And brought him back to life. And that's part, as we'll see this evening, of what that verse, the righteousness of God being revealed, means. And this is a God we can believe in today. Because it's not an illusion based on wishful thinking that God's going to make everything all right here and now if you just hang on a bit. It's a promise based on hard facts that there is a different future ahead. A future above and beyond this one, where God proves faithful to those who put their faith in him. So the gospel story reveals a God who is there, and it's not mere wishful thinking to believe it. He's faithful to his promises, not perhaps in the way you can see on a television screen, but in the way that you can see with faith in Jesus. But it's one thing saying that you can actually believe the story. This morning we're saying you actually must believe this story. And that sounds a bit heavy, doesn't it? You must believe it. Well, yes. Because you do have a story. And God has a story. And you're in it, like it or not. The only question is where God fits into yours and you fit into his. Use your memory and your imagination for a bit. Remember the story of your life, your birth, if you can remember that, your childhood, your upbringing. Remember the key places, call some to mind now, the events that really shaped you, good things and bad things, you know, joys and traumas. Now you've brought yourself up to this point in life, continue your life in your imagination now. Be optimistic and positive about your life from this point onwards. Nobody's life is perfect, is it? But for the sake of argument, imagine now the rest of your life continuing as smoothly as you possibly can, as well as you might hope from wherever you're up to now. Imagine your relationships. Oh, there's some lovely friends for you there. Perhaps a lovely husband or wife if you haven't got one already. Your family around you, lovely kids maybe. Imagine your career if you've not got there already, your achievements. Haven't you done well for yourself as you imagine your life progressing ahead of you? Everyone respects you and looks up to you. And then you reach your retirement. You have a nice little place to stay, cruises in the sun perhaps, grandchildren on your knee. And then you imagine, well, what do you imagine happening next? What do you imagine? I mean, fill in the blank. Except you can't really, can you? You can't. And that's whatever happens when you write your life story. You write your life story, there comes a point when you have to put a full stop at the end of the page. Every life story, human written life story, ends in a full stop and we die. And that in fact is the story of every human society and empire as well. Whether it was communism in Eastern Europe or secularism in the modern West or whatever else it will be, every empire, every movement of human beings comes to a full stop at the end. That's what happens if you write your life story without God. And maybe for a while we can run a society and live a life without God. Maybe we can for a while write him out of our story. But he's got a story too. And he's not going to write us out of that. The true story is that God created us in the first place when it all began. And whatever happens in the meantime, he is waiting for us at the end. And however you live your life and however our societies run ourselves, there will be a final chapter which God himself will write. A final judgment. No story that we can write will ever go on forever and ever and ever. And that thought of a last chapter in front of us is with us all the time, consciously or unconsciously. The knowledge of our accountability lurks away within us. And that's why you and I must believe in Jesus Christ. Because he's there waiting for us at the end of all our stories. Elsewhere in the Bible, it's put this way. For God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, Jesus Christ. He has given him proof of this by raising him from the dead. So that's why I said we must believe in it. One day we'll all have no choice but to. But it will do no good then. But if we believe in him now, it will be a very different story indeed. Here we're up to now. The gospel story tells us how God makes us right with him. It says, in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. Now that's an important phrase. We'll explore it more this evening. But basically it means this. The good news of Jesus shows how God can put us straight, make us right with him. Give us righteousness, a right relationship with him through Jesus. The gospel of Jesus, in that God offers a complete rewrite of all our stories, you see. Without Christ, it's not a life story, it's a death story. The account of how he lived and did this and did that and then died and found and missed the whole point. With Christ, your story is completely different. It tells how once you lived without God, but then he came and found you and made you right with him. When Jesus died on the cross, he was paying for your sins and finishing off that old story of yours that would otherwise end up with you in hell and writing a new story for you instead. And his new story becomes your story. Your death story becomes a life story. That's what happens when you become a Christian. And that's the reality our friends have been testifying to in their baptism. They've left an old life behind and, united with him, are sharing with Jesus a new life, a new destiny. And God is looking upon Sereo and Summer and Tal not as the sinners that they still already in practice are, but as good, as righteous, as Jesus himself. Their sins are yesterday's news. Being right with God today, that's the story now. And new life is the promise for tomorrow. Now, I could say a whole lot more. For example, this explains why God doesn't just step in and solve all the world's problems there and then, rewrite the big story all at once. He could do that, of course. One day he will. But the world's big problems are caused by lots of small problems, and those small problems are us. And if God was to come in and just solve the big problem, what happens to us? So he's given us this opportunity to repent and be made right with him through faith, first of all, before he then comes and sorts out the big story. You have a chance to be part of the new picture. But I want to finish by emphasizing again how it is that this can take place for you. How the good news of Jesus Christ can become your good news. And it's through faith. Righteousness is by faith from first to last. As it is written, the righteous will live by faith, it says. And faith means trusting and receiving a gift. That gift. Faith means not only agreeing in your head that it's true, that it happened in history. It means trusting in your heart that it's for you. And that's what you must do if you want to be sure that there is good news for you in this. And yet, in a funny kind of way, it's not something you do at all. In fact, it's almost the opposite of doing something. Most religions in different ways say, here is something that God requires you to do. You must do this, that, and the other in order to put your life straight and make yourself acceptable. In other words, they say, go and rewrite your life story better this time. But of course, that's been the problem all along. Doing it ourselves, trying very hard to write our life story better, it's not going to work. Because rightness, being right with God, is a gift he gives to you. Not a demand or a reward or something you earn. And faith is how you receive it. So the gospel story doesn't say, go away and put your life right, write it better. The gospel story says, Jesus has done it for you already. Just believe it. Believe it. So do the exact opposite of trying to be a better person. Stop writing your own story altogether and give him the pen. Of course, then your life does change. You find yourself making efforts to please him, working hard to do this, to live this new life that he's got in mind for you. But even then, it's only through faith that it happens, and your efforts are just the results of your faith, not the reason for it. For the righteous will live not by their hard work, but by their faith in him. So I want to ask you to imagine your life story again. Imagine it as you did before, up to this point now, being very familiar with its highs and its lows and its successes and its failures, your joys and your sorrows. Only this time, there comes a point in your life story when you realize that you can't write anymore. That you don't want to write anymore. That your story is a disaster without God, in fact. Can you imagine handing this story over to Jesus Christ? With all its blots and embarrassments, passing him the pen and saying, please, can you finish this for me? Now, many of us can do better than imagine it. We can remember it. It's what we've already done. Perhaps for some of us, others here, this is a new possibility before us. Perhaps one you've never thought of before. But one which you're beginning to realize that you can believe in. That you really need to believe in. That you must believe in. It could be that's God himself giving you the ability not just to imagine it, but to believe it. If so, do so. Hand that life story over to Jesus Christ with the pen. Do that in your heart before God as we pray in a moment. Or if it may help, I could take you through what I've said or point you towards somebody else who'd do the same for you. You need to have this matter sorted before God. You need to know where your life story is going. And it could be that Jesus Christ is the answer for you. So talk to someone after this service. I could point you towards a Christian who could explain without any pressure or expectations what it's entailed. This is your chance to really believe and be right with God and have your story rewritten. Because the good news is not just a story. By faith, it could be your life story. In the gospel, the good news of Jesus, a way of being right with God is revealed, which is by faith from its very beginning to its very end. Just as was written, those who are right will live by faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you that it's true that your Son came to this world, lived as one of us, died on the cross on our behalf, and rose again. We're amazed that this little story can be having such effects today as people all around the world come to faith in him. Yet as we understand what you did through Jesus Christ, we pray that you would open our eyes again. And I pray, Father, that you would enable us to trust and believe in Jesus as our Saviour, paying for our sins and bringing us life. I pray, Heavenly Father, that each one of us would be able to hand over our life story to him with all its blots and failings, sorry for our sins, and asking him to rewrite, to finish the old story and to give us a new one. Grant us the story of life in our lives, we pray. And give us the faith to believe it, so that we might live. In Jesus' name, amen. We're singing our final hymn now, number 315, in the books or on the screen.